it up. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a good shout, would you? Amen. I'm excited about our series called Welcome Home. We're about to end this series, and the series in October, brand new series, is called The Power of Generosity. The Power of Generosity. And we're going to talk about that for the whole month of October. And then in November, we're going to talk about the law of contentment. The law of contentment. Not the law of complacency, but the law of contentment. That's for the month of November. The month of October is the power of generosity. But we're about to conclude this series on Welcome Home. Now, you know why we planned this in September? Because people were coming off of summer. They were coming back to church, coming back from their vacation, coming back from their traveling. They were getting back into church. And so why did we strategically plan this? Because in August, I taught you how to invite people. Do you remember that? About our ministry within the church and our mission outside the church is to invite people. And if I'm following Christ, I'm a fisherman. Do you see how strategic we are? I taught you in August how to invite people. And then in September, the whole series has been about people coming off the summer, getting back into the routine, kids back in school, looking to get back planted in church, and we're setting them up for a breakthrough by letting them know, y'all come here. We'll welcome you. You see what we've been doing? Amen. So it's welcome home. Man, Pastor, how can you teach on welcome home for a whole month? Very easy. It's all about creating an atmosphere and an environment in our church where people, when they come, they feel welcome and they feel at home. You and I have been at churches and we've visited before where we didn't feel so welcome and we didn't feel so at home. Environment and atmosphere has a whole lot to do with what transpires at the restaurant, at the movie theater, in your house, in my house, or in God's house. I can walk into your house this afternoon and tell if there's been fighting and fussing, there'll be in the air a sense of strife. We all know what that's like, right? Or I can walk into your house this afternoon and there's peace and joy atmosphere. It's all a result of what's been going on in your house. The same way in God's house, and by the way, this is God's house. Amen. And we want an environment and an atmosphere that when people come, why do you think we have the people out in the parking lot smiling, giving you bottles of water all month? Why do you think we have those people outside with the welcome home signs, happy to see you, not pushing you away? Amen. Signs, signs, everywhere signs. That's an old hippie song back in the 70s. Signs, signs. Anyway, praise the Lord. My past is coming up. Hallelujah. And then you come inside there, and the door greeters, they smile at you. They welcome you home. And then you go out in the lobby and the Rock Express. And then now all month we've had complimentary coffee out there for you. It's free just to make you feel welcome. And it's at home. The ushers, and then before the service, you know, all of us walk around, greet people and get to meet people. It's all strategic. When you drop your kids off in the nursery or the children, it's all strategic. And then we go into two songs. Why do we stop after the second song? And Nikki came up here and she said, welcome home. It's for all the guests. It's for all the new people that we're believing are coming. That when they come, they won't feel out of place, out of sync, unwelcome, not wanted. I don't belong. I don't know what's going on here. It's to make them feel at peace, at home, so they're receptive to the message. And then we go back, we tell them what's going to happen, and then what happens? You know, Pastor Kim comes up and prays for people, and man, you can't fight or resist prayer. Wow, prayer changes people And prayer changes circumstances. And then what do? We show you videos of people's lives that are being changed, because there are people here today that are hurting. There are people just like that young man from Brazil that are in transition, and they feel all alone, and they feel like nobody loves them and nobody wants them and they're not included, and what are they going to do with their life? And there are people like that here today. And when they see a story like that of somebody whose life was changed and transformed here, they're thinking, maybe this is the place to be. Maybe my life could get better here. Come on, somebody. And then you pray for my part. We're working on my part for the teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. But then you have the teaching. And then what do? We always give an altar call for people to come to Christ. And we always tell you the next step. And then the host comes back and tells you the next step. And then prays the Jewish prayer over you out of Numbers chapter 6. That the blessing of the Lord, you leave blessed. It's all strategic. It's all strategic. Why? Because we want an environment and an atmosphere, no matter your color, no matter how many times you've been married, no matter if you're an alcoholic, no matter if you're homosexual or a lesbian, no matter if you've been raped, no matter if you've been excluded, no matter if you're black or white or young or old, you're accepted here. You're loved here. You're welcome here. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a thank you for our church. Amen. How cool is that? I think that's really cool, don't you? Okay, now with that in mind, let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, New Testament. If you don't know where that's at, it'll be for you on the overheads here so you can follow along with us. So we all need a church we can call home. We all need a church family. We need a church like here, I believe, where transformation can take place. We cannot fulfill God's purpose without relationships. We cannot mature at home by ourselves. So it's important that once we commit to Christ, we commit to His family. That's church. Once we commit to Christ, then we need to commit to a local church that we can call home and that where we belong, because you can't mature at home watching on the internet. You can't mature. You can't grow spiritually. The internet, the live streaming, the services actually all started to be a supplement, not to take the place of. Our culture thinks that they can watch their church on computer and it makes, you know, it's the same thing as being there. It's not, my brother and sister. That technology, thank God for it, but live streaming and television is a supplement. It's not to substitute the gathering together, not forgetting the habit, don't forsake, of gathering together in a local church. It's all biblical. Because I can't mature at home by myself. I can't learn to love others at home by myself watching on television. Amen. So we need a church we can call home. We need a church where, how do you know if it's home, Pastor? I mean, yeah, we get it. But you know, Pastor, a lot of churches got coffee and lattes and donuts. And, you know, a lot of churches, you know, got Krispy Kremes. I heard they were giving out Krispy Kremes last night. Oh my goodness, I missed out on that. And you know, a lot of churches give out Krispy Kremes, and a lot of churches, they got the fog and the lights and a mega campus, and they got carts that will chauffeur you up to the door. Lots of churches do that, Pastor. How do we know when we find a church we can call home? I'll tell you how. When your values, your core values, match the core values of that church. You know, I grew up, you know, in a wonderful home, wonderful parents. They're both in heaven today. And my father had core values in our home. And our house was built and revolved around those core values. Am I connecting with you today? So how do you know when you walk into a church, well, my kids like it? No, you don't go there because your kids like it. I always get quiet when I do this, because a lot of people today, they go where their kids want to go. Now, every church should have an incredible nursery, children and youth and college ministry. Can we all agree? But you don't go where your kids want to go. You go where you're fed as a parent. You go where you're fed as a parent and where your core values match the core values of that church. Let me give you an illustration. How many ever flown on an airplane? Yeah. Two of you. Well, y'all got to get a life. Amen. Those of you who have flown on an airplane, before they ever take off, they go through the instructions and the directions, right? And if you're sitting with a child, what do they say? If something would happen, you put on the mask on you before your kids. You put it on you as a parent, a guardian, an adult, before the kids. See the principle? So, you know, parents need to be fed so they can lead their kids in the right direction. Amen. Granted, every church should have a great children's program, but today I hear so many parents, well, I'm going there because my teenager likes it. I'm going there because my toddlers like it. That's the wrong reason for going. Because if they backslide, you'll backslide. What kind of example is that as a parent? Come on, somebody. So how do you know? How do you know to call this church a church home? I feel welcome, but I don't know if it's home. I'm looking for a church. Well, your core values will match the core values of that local church. Well, Pastor, okay, I get it, but I'm visiting today. I'm a guest. I don't know the core values of Church on the Rock. I'm glad you said that, because all you got to do is go through our growth track classes. They meet every Sunday, and they meet during the main service over here to my right and your left. Great small group, and you can go through growth track step one, step two, step three, step four, and learn everything about our church, how it operates, how it was founded, how it started, who leads it, how is it run, the government, and you'll find out the core beliefs of church and values of Church on the Rock. Oh, I love y'all. I love being here today. Isn't it great here today? Oh, praise the Lord. God's doing great stuff in your life. So, core values. Everyone say core values. Okay, well, Pastor, what's the core values? Well, we have 8 that I teach in Growth Track 101 or Step 1. In that class, I teach it, and I teach the 8 fundamental core values of Church on the Rock. The number one core value is the teaching of God's Word at Church on the Rock. Now, our church, the number one core value is not worship, because worship won't get you through warfare. Okay? It prepares your heart for the teaching of God's Word. Amen? Fellowship, man, we're big into that. Small groups, we're all for that. But that's not the number one core value. Now, if I'm looking for a church just to party down and I don't want to learn anything, we're not the church for that person. If I just want stories and emotions and I want worship for 2 hours, there are churches like that that do that. Amen. You know, I came out of the hippie movement, the Jesus People movement. When I was a youth pastor, you know, we would lead the youth with a guitar. And we were back there in the 70s, and we were in Iowa State University campus. I was a campus pastor there. And, you know, back then we'd have praise and worship for 2 hours. But how many know that just really doesn't hit the masses today? To sit in a seat, man, if I go over 29 minutes, we got popcorn. So, but if you want 2 hours of worship, rolling in the aisles, foaming in the mouth, hanging chandelier, doodads, goosebumps, there are churches that'll do that. Amen. Okay, and again, if you don't, you know, but at Church on the Rock, our core value, number one, is what's happening here right now. The teaching of God's Word. And I really do think it's biblical, and let me show you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 and 42. Then they gladly received his word. Whose word? Now watch it as we break down scripture. They gladly, who's they? This is the day of Pentecost, and this is Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2, y'all remember the day of Pentecost? They were all in the upper room. They were all in one accord. There were 120. The Holy Spirit came down, they were filled with the Spirit, and they got a prayer language, right? And then what happens now on the first day, now that's when the church began. The church wasn't in the Old Testament. That's why it's referred to as the mystery in the New Testament. What was the mystery in the Old Testament? The church in the New Testament. And the church didn't start in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. The church started in Acts chapter 2. We are in the church age. And it started then. And so what happened is that Peter, y'all remember Peter? Remember Peter? Wow, you know, he was a fisherman. He was a businessman. You know, he was, you know, bad to the bone. You know, he was gruff and rough. And he got his foot in his mouth a couple of times, right? And y'all remember that he's the one that denied Christ. He denied Christ three times. But something happened. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, got a prayer language on the day of Pentecost, and boldness came all over him. He gets up and preaches the first sermon in the New Testament church. The first sermon. And it said that the people, what they do, they gladly received his word. Everybody say gladly. If people come here sad and mad, and they're still sad and mad while I'm teaching, they can't receive what I'm teaching. Attitude has everything to do with receptivity. Why do you think I make that confession? My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. See, everything we do up to this point is to get your heart right and my heart right. Because if my heart isn't right, I get no revelation. Well, I didn't get fed there today. Ooh, you don't want to say that out loud because that means your heart's not right. Because the word sets people free. Amen. So it says that they gladly receive. So everything we do to create an atmosphere and the smile out in the parking lot is to get people who are sad to smile. And the coffee and the free water and the free Krispy Kremes is to get people to smile. The praise and the worship, the greeting and going around, all that is to get people who are hurting to open their hearts, who are hard to open their hearts, who are offended to let it drop. Because the condition of your heart determines if you can receive what I'm doing for 30 minutes every service or not. And there's no transformation without receptivity of the teaching. Okay? So it says they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine this morning, I give an altar call here in a few minutes, and 3,000 people came forward. That's what happened. Let's not limit God. I mean, look at that. On the first day of a brand new church called the Church Age, New Testament Church, he preaches a sermon. Peter, he used to deny Christ. Now he's bold and he stands publicly and declares the word of God. He's teaching the word of God, which is the number one core value of Church on the Rock. Now, if the word is important to you, and I think it is, then we're the place for you. Because the teaching of God's word in a simple, practical way is the number one value at Church on the Rock. Always has been for 35 years. Always will be while I pastor this wonderful church. So notice that they gladly received the word. And that same day, 3,000 people were added in one service. One altar call. I want you to notice the word added. Everyone say added. So you know what? I pray that every day for this church. Did you know that? This morning, and I'm not just saying this, I was up, it was dark this morning. I was telling Art, it's dark this morning. It's foggy this morning. At 6 o'clock in my backyard, had my cup of coffee, fixed my eggs for my dog, fixed my eggs, had my Ezekiel toast, had my egg whites. I'm out there listening to the chronological Bible. Amen. But you know what I'm doing? God, add to your church today. God, last night, there were visitors. God, I pray you added them to Church on the Rock last night. God, in our 9 o'clock service, add people to Church on the Rock. In the scriptural, it's a biblical prayer. God, in the 11 o'clock service, add new people. God, add new people to Church on the Rock. At 2 o'clock, God, in our Spanish service, add new people to Church on the Rock. Now, if the environment is not right and they don't feel welcome and at home, they're not coming back. So there's no addition. It's called subtraction. Right? So notice they were added. Everybody say added. So would you do me a favor and God a favor and pray over your church when you pray, and I hope you do, that God would add to our church every day of the week. The Bible says in the book of Acts, they were added daily. Daily. They were added to the church. So next verse, verse 42. And they continued. Who's they? The 3,120. brand new church plant, 3,120. And what do? Now look at the progression. Don't miss this revelation.
Well, I just don't think, praise God, you know, I just don't get anything out of the Bible. I don't understand the Bible.
Well, come here and let us help you.
Well, I don't want that. I want stories. I want Reader's Digest. I want the pop culture story.
Well, then this isn't the church for you, because I try to be a good storyteller, but that's not my major gift. My major gift is teaching the Word of God. And so you pray for me. I need prayer. But I want you to see the very first thing these new converts did. The very first thing they did. So that would be priority. That would be a value. The very first thing they did, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. It means their sermons. What's the first thing that they did? They continued steadfastly in the teaching of God's word. In the teaching of God's word. All these other things are important, but not the most important. How do you know you're in the right church? If you're fed there. How do you know you're at home? If your core values match the core values of the church you're visiting or attending. And the 8 values we have at our church, I teach them in step 1 at Growth Track. Please go through that class. But I'll just share with you. Number 1 is the teaching of God's word. Why? People aren't set free any other way but through the renewing of their mind. People are not set free. People do not grow spiritually any other way than the way of renewing your mind in the word of God. The old you, celebrate recovery. We help people get off of bad habits. The old you drops off through the renewing of your mind in the Word of God. And the new you begins to lead your life, spiritual growth. The only way it happens, it doesn't happen through fellowship. It doesn't happen through worship. It doesn't happen through serving. It only happens through renewing, continuing steadfastly in the teaching of God's Word. The Bible doesn't say you'll know worship and the worship will set you free. It says you'll know the truth, which is the Bible, and the Bible will set you free. Am I helping anybody today? So notice the very first, continuing steadfastly means renewing your mind. So let me help you out, because I'm here to help you today. If all you do is come on Sunday, we appreciate that very much. If that's the only time you open the Bible, you'll never grow at Church on the Rock. It'll never grow. In fact, you'll never grow in any church. Because you have to take what I'm teaching and go home and practice it. You have to take what I'm teaching, and the practicing starts with the renewing. You are to take what I teach and you're to go home and study it. It's called the renewing of the mind. So we can't grow without renewing our mind. We cannot grow without renewing our mind in the Word of God. You will not grow serving. If you're serving and not renewing your mind, you'll burn out, you'll backslide, and you'll be shipwrecked, and we won't see you anymore. But if you'll take what I'm teaching and you study it and begin to practice it out, you'll grow spiritually. I promise you, you'll grow spiritually, and transformation will take place in your life. But guess what? If what we do up to the teaching of the word doesn't make people feel welcome and at home, they can't receive anything from what I'm teaching. Does that make sense? Okay. So first of all was the teaching of the word, and then came fellowship. Fellowship is important, right? Now that's 2 fellows in a ship. That's why we have small groups, over 100 ministries, all kinds of small groups. Okay. That fellowship is important because iron sharpens iron. And once we commit to Christ, we need to commit to a local church. Not 3 or 4, but 1. A local church. And then we fellowship one with another, and we connect with one another, because we can't fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. And then next, what's next? The breaking of bread. That is not communion. That means fellowship with eating. Meals, desserts, parties, you know, that are centered around Christ. That's why we did what we did in the lobby. It's scriptural. We want you to stop, play board games. That's why we have the complimentary coffee this month. We want you to stop, hang out, and fellowship, and breaking of bread one to another. That's why we do all these things. It's scriptural. It's important. It's needed, but not the number 1 core value at Church on the Rock. All right. So then it goes on, and in prayer. Now, we believe in prayer, don't we? Got to have prayer. Pastor Kim leads our prayer team. We have a prayer shield that prays before me, before the service. We have people that pray during the services just for you. Amen. And so we believe in all that. But I want you to see, what was the number one, you tell me, the number one core value of the New Testament church? The teaching of God's word. Amen. Now, do you all remember the parable of the sower sows the seed? The parable of the sower sows the seed. Do y'all remember that? And the parable, as the team comes out, the parable, the sower sows the seed, it's all about the teaching and preaching of God's word. The sower sows the seed. The sower is the preacher. The seed is the word of God. This is in Mark chapter 4. And then there are four kinds of people. Everyone say four. Four kinds of people listed in that parable. Pastor, I didn't see any people listed in that. I've studied that. All I see is ground. The ground in the parable is the heart of the people in the audience. It's their heart. Notice there were four types of soil, represents four types of hearts. The one was called a hard heart. Am I right, church? A hard heart. You and I live in a very difficult world, and people are getting harder than ever before because the world's getting hard. So notice those with a hard heart in the congregation, the word bounced off of them. They didn't get anything out of the sermon. That's why it's so important. Our whole team, we all work as a church. You have a part to make everyone feel welcome and at home for the first 30 minutes so their heart softens, and they let go of the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits. And then there was a thorny heart, right? Thorny ground. The thorny are those people who have been offended and they carry the offenses. How many know that if I'm sad and mad and offended, even though pastor's teaching the word, which is the core value of Church on the Rock, you're not getting anything out of my teaching? Well, you know, he used to be anointed, but he's just not anointed anymore. You know, he used to really do real good, but not anymore. I don't get anything. I would say that person needs to check their heart, because the word is the word, no matter who's teaching it. And the word is full of power, God's power. Amen. So we had a hard heart. We had a thorny heart. We had a shallow heart. But notice, then there was just one out of four. Now, they teach you this in Bible college. That means only 25% of you sitting here today are getting anything from my teaching. Only 25% of you will go out and practice it. You'll be a doer of God's word. The other three-fourths of the congregation, they have a hard heart, shallow heart, a thorny heart, and they sit here, but they walk out the same way they came in. And we don't want anybody to leave the same as they came, in Jesus' name, right? But I don't believe that at Church on the Rock. I believe everybody is good ground at Church on the Rock. Come on, somebody. I'm giving you a compliment. Everybody's good ground. And if you're not good ground, during the greeting in the parking lot, the welcome in the doorway, out in the lobby, dropping off your children, coming into the sanctuary, the ushers, the section communities, all of us, by the time you get to me, your heart softens. So that now I can give you a word that can transform your life forever. So how do you know that this church is your home? If your core values match the core values of that church. And what is the number one core value of Church on the Rock? The teaching of God's word. We're going to build our house on the rock, not on sand, because storms are going to come. And so we're going to be a hearer and a doer. What does that mean? Every time I teach, you should be looking for something you can apply immediately in your life. Every time I teach, something you can apply immediately and practice in your life. Because if you sit here and just listen to me and don't study what I've taught, apply what I've taught, then you're building your house on the sand. You're not growing. You're not changing. You're not moving forward. You get frustrated and you say, that church is dead. I'll try another one. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's why all of us are so important to create an atmosphere and an environment that helps hurting people, that helps people get delivered, set free, healed, restored, find Christ, and find a family. I'm out of time. Would you give the Lord a big praise today? Amen. Give the Lord all the praise.